men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Are we giving him thanks? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name will give thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, there are some traditions that we must never outgrow. Are you with me? There are traditions we must never outgrow. You don't call them Old Testament practice. Are you with me? You know, as Christians, especially as we begin to have knowledge, there are some things we want to outgrow. We feel that these things are no longer in vogue. They have become old school. One of them is corporate thanksgiving. Never outgrow it. You will see in the Old Testament several times. In fact, one of the days David had to shout, he said, "Let the people praise him." He said, "Let the people praise him." Thanksgiving was a regular feature of the Jewish culture. It was a lifestyle. And then in the New Testament, Apostle Paul now spoke in 1 Thessalonians, I think 5 verse 18. He said, "In everything, give thanks." In everything, give thanks. And let me tell you this. Open your eyes. Listen. You give thanks by using your mouth to say, "Father, thank you." Number two, you give thanks by lifting up your hands and say, "Lord, indeed you did it." Three, you give thanks by talking about what God have done. You know, sometimes it amazes me how we allow what I call the fear now, or lies. Yes, lies of the enemies. Talking what God have done. One of the things that I've noticed among Christians today is that we find it easier talking about negative happenings in our lives than resounding what God have done. Someone shared with me some weeks ago, and it was quite amazing. And I tried to talk to the person. The person said something. He said, there's something that she had noticed. Please listen to me, everybody. It's very, very important. Talking about what God have done for you. I understand that narrative because I've been there before. There are people that don't like coming out publicly to talk about what God have done for them. She said there was a time she came to share testimony of something, and then she realized, okay, was it sickness or something? He said, and then she realized after the testimony, the sickness now increased. He said, so because of that, somebody now advised her that she may have told you not to be sharing testimony again. I mean, some people believe that thing. Some people believe it, that after they share testimony of something, the thing will spoil. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It is a lie from the pit of hell, except you were not sincere about the testimony. It is a lie from the pit of hell. Is that okay? It is a lie from the pit of hell. The devil is trying to shut you out from the perfection of what God has done. I'll show you a verse in scriptures. Still standing. Because it is our month of renewed mind. And one of the directions that the Spirit of God laid in our hearts, where our minds need to be renewed, is in the direction of thanksgiving. There are nothing less than five ways to show gratitude. Number one, I said, say it with your mouth. Father, thank you. Number two, lift up your hands. Number three, dance and clap. Number four, talk it. And then number five, giving your goods. We grew up in the Anglican. Whenever it is Thanksgiving, we'll go to the market, we'll buy foodstuff, and we'll carry it to the altar. Look up, everybody. It is not an Old Testament practice. It is a sign of gratitude. So don't allow anybody to tell you that when you publicly show thanksgiving to God, you are giving the enemy access to destroy what? Is it not God that started it the first time? Who are you thanking? You know, it's amazing how Satan and religion just brainwash people. In Matthew, let's turn our Bibles in Luke 11. We're going to be giving thanks to God. And I wanted to do it with the right attitude. Luke 17. Bible says in verse 12 that as he entered the village, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And they went, and their leprosy disappeared. Did you see that? They were cleansed of leprosy. Now, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. Jesus healed him. God got the glory. Now see the next thing. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. For those of you that are familiar with John 4, Jews and Samaritans don't have anything in common. So see the statement Jesus made. What was the statement Jesus made? Jesus asks, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? So you know what would have happened to the other 9? There's no need to talk about it, Joe. If I talk about it now, the leprosy if he come back. Okay, yes, I understand that there are some places where there are evil men. Are you getting me? Now, there are two things. Now, if perhaps at any point in time you had shared a testimony and then it now looked like that thing you shared testimony about went wrong. Are you following me? Now, let me tell you two things that you should take note of. Number one, the enemy is not, how will I put it down? The enemy, he knows that victory will be a threat to him. And then two, the enemy does not want you to validate the word of God. So do you know what you do? You talk about it. And you tell the enemy that you can't stop what God has already done. My glory is to God. And he that has begun a good work will perfect it. And let me tell you what you will do. That's warfare. Everybody say that's warfare. Warfare are fought with words, not with secrets. With words. With words. Yes, it has happened. In fact, there are times that some people carelessly, that's why you need to be very careful too. I mean, some people carelessly open up what should have been covered. Do you understand? Now, the reason why the enemy will act on what you open up that you should have covered is because you don't have sufficient conviction to seal it. So that's why, if you are a believer and you have experienced such, and the enemy has shut your mouth, you will not come into the fullness of God's blessing for your life. Because there are testimonies that open doors for bigger victory. Like it happened. What did he say? He said, as no one returned except this foreigner. That's why it's Christians that do that a lot. Not foreigners. He said foreigners. Foreigners will easily come and tell what God has done. But there are some people, especially when they have stayed in a place for a long time, that no need job. Do you understand? He was a foreigner. Now see what Jesus said. And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has what? Has healed you. What's the next thing? Leave it there. 19. Your faith has what? Healed you. Then is it New King James now or Old King James? He said, your faith has made you whole. So talking about what God has done in your life is a pathway to wholeness. Is a pathway to wholeness. Put it in your mouth. Let me tell you this. Sam, bring it up. David spoke. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? Say what? We have been redeemed. I have been delivered from accident. I have been healed from my infirmities. The devil wants you to suffer from the last day syndrome. He said, in the last days, men shall be ungrateful. Do you know that in the Old Testament, they made covenant of thanksgiving? Hello? How many of you know in the Old Testament, they made tough covenant of thanksgiving? Jacob would tell God, he said, God, if you will deliver me now from my brother Esau, I will come back and erect an altar. That's where altar of praise came from. Now erect an altar. And what do you know what the Bible will not write? It will not write that altar is still there, even till today. A memorial, forever thanksgiving. Forever thankful. Publicly. Praise God. Publicly. So speaking about what God have done for you publicly is not a wrong thing. Except if you are lying. You know, some people exaggerate. Praise God. They exaggerate. Some people share testimony to spite others. They are not sincere. But if it is from a sincere heart, some people lie. There is no need to lie. If you are truly grateful to God, come to God's altar and say, God, I am what? I am grateful. We don't even need all the details and the plenty stories. All we just want to hear from your mouth, God, you have done me well. And I am what? I am grateful. I hold on to your word. Let me tell you some of the things you share testimony publicly about. Let me tell you one of them. Okay, two. Let me tell you two. Number one is when you make a covenant, a vow of thanksgiving. Don't go without fulfilling it. You know, in the New Testament, we have been told not to make vow. Sure you remember? Especially if you will not keep it. There are some people in the midst of their predicaments. You know, like David, that's why David did a lot of public thanksgiving. Because he said, in my distress, I called unto you. And what did you do? You answered. So sometimes in that distress, he told God that if you will do it, I will stand before the congregation of your people and I will tell them what you did. Amen? Did he fulfill it? David will always fulfill his vow. So he will come to the congregation of the people and begin to dance and say, this was what I told God to do. He did it. So if he did the part, his part, I must do. So people make, what do you call it now? A vow of what? Of thanksgiving. Then number two, you should be grateful to God for vows of what? Thanksgiving. So if you made a sometimes out of pressure, sometimes out of this, sometimes out of love, Lord, if you will do this, I will stand before your people to tell them you did it. Now the goal of that is this: it verifies the character of God. Look up. Keeping quiet about what God have done for you will make people think that God is not doing anything. So don't be selfish. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes we share testimony of what God has done for us and someone else picks it up as a conviction and said, if God could do this thing for him, I know he would do mine. And you are keeping quiet. So they'll think God is not doing anything. So your selfishness is blocking other people's edification. Truly thankful people are blessed people. Because most times, the pathway to a full tank is a thankful heart. Truly thankful people are blessed people. So number one, when you make a vow of thanksgiving, fulfill it. Especially among your family. Why hide good news from your family members? That means you don't trust your family members. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if you are the kind of person that is perpetually keeping your mouth shut because you don't want the enemy to snatch your blessings, perhaps you need to deal with what I call familiar spirits. Possibly they are too much around you. So number one, keep your vow of what? Thanksgiving. Then the other thing you publicly thank God for is when, for example, a brother or the man of God or a minister gave you a word of prophecy, prayed for you, or did something to validate or to express the word of God that came to pass in your life. What do? You tell the people that truly it was difficult. The job was never going to come. But then one day, pastor was preaching. And it looked like it was me he was talking to. And said, that contract is coming. There is someone here. That job is coming. And then the job came. It is not too bad to say this was what God said through the servant of God. And this is what God did. Listen to this. Some pregnancy didn't come because the sperm of the husband was fertile. Are we here? Except you want to downplay the power of God. Some pregnancy did not come because the womb of the wife was good. It came because a word of prophecy brought it to pass. Raise your head. In Luke 5, Peter and his friends did not enclose a great multitude of fish. Bring it up. Luke 5 verse 3. He said, he got into the boat. He sat down and taught the multitude. Now look at verse 4. After teaching, now said, he said to Simon. Everybody say, he said. Take note of that word. He said. Launch out to what? Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Now see the disclaimer, verse 5. See what Peter said. He said, we have what? Toiled all night. How many nights have we toiled? All night. We didn't catch. Now look up. So it means, now see the next thing. He said, but at thy word, I will let it. Now see the next thing that happened, verse 6. And when they had done this, what happened? When they have responded to the word of God. So look up. If the word of God gave entrance to a particular dynamics of God in your life, that word will bring it to pass. He now said, what happened? They caught a great number of fish. Question, was it their expertise that gave them the catch? Everybody say the word of God. So now God said something in your life and it came to pass. Now he said you will not share testimony so that Satan will not take it. Are we here? Let me share a testimony with you. One of our sons, she got married. And during one of the prayer drill, the prophecy came and then that she was going to get pregnant. Not she specifically now. I spoke. I said at least three persons listening to me were going to take him supernaturally. So weeks after the prayer drill, she shouted me up. That was around 7 days or 14 days after the prayer drill. So when she shouted me up, she said she has been having symptoms and then she went to the hospital. And then they did a scan. And they told her that she was 14 days off. So she said, Pastor, I took in after that meeting that night. Now, this was what happened. So along the line, she went again for another scan. So the doctor now told her that there were some things there, was it fibroid or some things in the womb that can affect the life of the baby. So she began scared. Do you know what I told her? I said, wait a minute. I said, God knew there was fibroid and put a fine boy there. Now wait. Don't allow what the doctor saw to deny you from what God did. They will grow together, but the baby will live. I said, don't even think it. I was laughing, I was telling her. I said, if maybe you, after the program, you went to this scan and they said you had fibroid, there's no pregnancy, then I will know that I will not pray for fibroid to go. But if God allowed you to conceive with this fibroid, just go and sit down. Your fine boy will come out. Glory to God. She gave birth to the baby. Glory to God. The baby is alive. She's alive. Now, do you know why? I cannot allow what doctor said to erode what God said. Peter was a trained fisherman, but Jesus was a miracle worker. So the report of the trained fisherman is that this time we can't catch fish. But the word of the miracle worker, I said, drop the net. So if Peter had not dropped the net, he wouldn't have caught the fish. But he dropped the net and caught the fish, showing that the word of God came to pass. Now look up. Every time God's word comes to pass in your life, it's an opportunity to validate God and his character. So when you come before God's people and say, this was what God said, and this is what God did, you have won victory for someone against the devil. Because there's someone listening to me while you are talking, listening to you, that the devil is saying, forget it. God is a liar. But you coming to tell the congregation that God said this and God did it, you have won the battle in the heart of that person. That person will say, truly, God's word is true. That was the same thing that happened to me. A lady was sharing with me, then I was looking for a job, waiting for the job in Federal Poly offer. So I was about packing my things and go. So one day we're having a conversation. And she started telling me stories. So people get stories of how a woman had, surgery. She gave birth through CS. And the doctor told her that she can't take him until after a year or two for the place to heal. As in, he didn't know how it happened. After, like, was it 6 months or 8 months, she took him. She said that was when she knows that miracle, they work. If one used today's song, we say miracle, not the tire Jesus. She said this is not story, she saw it. That as the womb was getting bigger, the marks were coming out. He said, but this woman will take anointing oil and say, God, your word says I will deliver my child. He said, but the woman never gave up. She said, at the end of the day, she delivered them. The baby was alive, the woman was alive. And then she said something to me. I can't forget it all my life. He said, they used to call me Uncle Steve that time. He said, Uncle Steve, see, there is nothing God cannot do except you don't have faith. That word came, it was all I needed. He hit my heart. I went back. I was crying in my room. I said, God, I'm sorry for doubting you. He started giving me stories of great things God have done for people. Now, if you don't hear what God have done for some people, you will think that God's word is a scam. And that's why when you are keeping quiet, you are sponsoring the scam mindset in some people. Tell them, let the redeem of the losses. Tell them, I am bold to say it. God have done miracles for me. You can't keep me quiet. No way. No way. See, if I share testimony of a house I built, and next tomorrow the house burnt down completely, I will share testimony that God gave and God took. He will bring another one. The devil is a liar. Devil cannot make me keep quiet of what God has done. No way. He's bigger. God is bigger. A songwriter said, he's bigger than everything. Anything. He's bigger. What God have done? See, except he was not the one that did it. Stand up on your feet. Or any posture you want to take, lift up your hands. Has the Lord done something for you? I want you to give thanks. Has He done something for you? Has He done something for you? See, don't allow the devil to cheat you. He can still do more. 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 Wherever you are, lift your voice and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for fulfilling your word in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can raise song in your heart. Remember when you were in primary school and it looked like you will not have money to even write exam. See where you are today. Who told you it's because you are better? Every time I call, you answer.
And anytime I knock, you are.
Don't stop talking. Lift your voice. Lift your voice.
Seated.
Amen. Listen. Thanksgiving is not an emotional act. Thanksgiving is a conscious disposition. And I will show you why. Amen. Amen. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. He said, in verse 5, Jesus, who saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill looking for him, turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "It will take a small fortune to feed them." It would take a small fortune to feed them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" Now look at what verse 11 said. Okay, let's start. Let's read 10. "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus ordered. So all of them, the men alone, numbered 5,000. I mean, 5,000 crowd. But what was available was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But let me tell you this. Look up. Thanksgiving is a multiplier. When the devil shuts you from giving thanks, he's shutting you from getting increase. Everybody say increase. You can't see increase in life if you are not thankful. It is thankfulness that fills your tank. Look up, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves. I didn't see where Jesus prayed and said, "God, multiply the loaves." No. There was only one thing Jesus did. The Bible says he took the loaves and gave thanks. And he said, "Go and share." Kabadosiata. Ekotopaliada. Extraordinary strategies. He does that in the place of thanksgiving. Through the month of June, we should renew our mind in the direction of thanksgiving. I'll show you yet another mystery. John chapter 11. Listen, John chapter 11. Lazarus was dead 4 days. Let's read verse 38. And again, Jesus was deeply troubled. Look up. Whenever you are troubled, please put thanksgiving in your mouth. I know it's hard. You've just checked your result and they have told you you are going to have an extra year. Listen, you can defy the activities of the enemy by putting thanksgiving in your mouth. God dwells in the realm of the impossible. But let me tell you this. The pathway to activating the impossible is thanksgiving. I don't know what you know about thanksgiving, but listen to this. I have never seen anyone who gave God thanks for something and that thing was taken away. I've never seen. Lazarus was dead. The case have been closed. The next thing Jesus said, roll away the stone. Look at the next verse. Verse 39. Roll the stone aside. But Martha said, the dead. He protested. He said, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. He smells. Katosiataya. Thanksgiving is a divine fragrance that covers smells. Thankful people are fragranced. A songwriter says, he said, first it was fragrance, then it turned to worship. He said, that is how I win my battle. Because every time you give thanks, you increase the divine fragrance. Now wait. Jesus told her, he said, did I not tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? Look up. It takes a believing heart to become thankful. The reason why you can't thank God is because you don't believe that this year you can get married. Because if you really do, it will show in your thanksgiving. There are some of you, look up, you think that because the price of where I've gone high, you will beg for money. I bet you, you won't beg for money. Look up. The case was closed, but thanksgiving changed your narrative. See the next thing he said. Then they rolled the stone. See, Jesus looked up to heaven. The first thing he said, Father, a voice of association. Then he said, I give you thanks. Thank you for hearing me. If you be God that received that kind of word, will you keep Lazarus in the grave? Thanksgiving brought a 4-day dead man back. I don't know what doctor has said. Maybe you are here. There is an ailment in your body, and doctors have told you that it will take 2 months for it to go. Lift your hands and say thank you. Say thank you.
Incredible God.
Are you ready? Incredible God.
Incredible God.
Incredible God.
Incredible God.
Come on, lift your voice. I want to hear you roar in person. What is it you can? Are you ready?
You are God. You are kind.
You are more than peace. Lost for words. Trying to describe you. Elohim. Elion. El Shaddai. There's no mountain you cannot move. You are saved, then you will do it. You have a track record of keeping your word, and you're not about to stop doing it.
Start from the beginning. You are God.
You are good. You are kind. You are more than peace.
Lost for words.
Trying to describe.
I am grateful, Lord.
Elohim, Elion, and the Jack Redmond of keeping the word.
Why do we need to say it with our mouths? The reason is because sometimes the best person to speak to your subconscious is you. The best person. So when you say there is nothing you cannot do, you are telling your subconscious that God can do anything. So when you are not saying it, you are not doing well. You say it. I will say it. I will say it. There is nothing. Are you ready? There is nothing.
There is nothing you cannot do.
From your mouth,
no
you cannot. You have said it. Then you're gonna do it. Think about it. You are the track record of keeping. You're not. One more time. There is nothing. Lift up your hands and tell it to him. There's no mountain you can't move. If you have said it, God, then you will do it. Oh, of keeping the word. Oh, we bless your name. I want you to lift your voice and give him thanks. There is nothing you can't do, Lord. We give you all the glory. We bless your name, Father. He said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless your name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have given thanks. I want you to give the Lord a clap of adoration. I want you to welcome 2-3 persons by your side. Remind them of the goodness of God. Say, God is good all the time. Amen. You may be seated. One more time, can you raise your hands and say, Father, thank you. One of the phrases that I want you to keep repeating every moment in the month of June, I want you to normalize it. Say, Father, thank you. Say, Father, thank you. You are not saying it the way I want. Say, Father, thank you. Gratitude is a divine provision for a life of a higher altitude. You can't be grateful and be grateful. Nobody give thanks to God and remain at the level where he gives thanks. Nothing guarantees a change of level like a heart of gratitude. Look up. Grateful people are never found in on the same spot for a long time. He said, he will give you the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness. I pray for you that this month and beyond, your thankfulness shall bring about gladness in your heart. You must understand that thanksgiving is a mindset. Only those whose mind are renewed can truly give thanks to God. Because there are three major things or reasons or directions our thanksgiving flow towards. Quickly, allow me to show you that one of the first things we give thanks for is for the character of God. When you give thanks to God for the stability of his character, it is called worship. You must understand that both worship and praises are expressions of thanksgiving. But the direction now differs. When you worship God, you are giving him thanks for the revelation of his character. Now let me tell you what you do. When you find out that God is an impossibility specialist. So when you go to God and say, God, you are God of the impossible. Now you know what you're doing? You are thanking him for his character. Thanking God for his character makes his essence and presence domiciled in your life. When you hear Jehoshaphat say, give him thanks in the beauty of his holiness. When you say give thanks to God or worship him in the beauty of his holiness, you know what you are saying? Extol his character. Every time you sing songs like, there is nothing you cannot do. Now, what are you doing? You are thanking him for his character. He is not a man that he should lie. Jeremiah 32. Can we please read verse 27? He spoke to Jeremiah. He said, I am the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me to do. Glory to God. Amen. He said, is there anything too hard for me to do? It's a question. Answer it. Thank him for his character. So we thank God for his character. Number two, we thank God for his acts. A-C-T-S. His acts. Number one, we give him thanks for his character. Number two, we give him thanks for his doings, for the things he does. And then number three, we give him thanks for the things he did for us. These are the three directions of thanksgiving. There are doings of God that whenever we give him thanks for, we become qualified for them. Hello? Let me say it again. There are things that God has done or that is doing that when we give him thanks for it, we qualify for those doings. Are we together? So one thing is to understand the divine character. Another thing is to understand the divine acts. It is in the divine acts that we begin to see the sovereignty of God. It can change a man's story all of a sudden. So right now you are before kidnappers and they are ready to kill you. Give him thanks because he's the giver of life. Let me tell you one of the easiest ways to live a life of thanksgiving. Look at your condition, convert it into thanksgiving. Whenever you are not grateful, you become number one, murmurer. You murmur. Murmuring creates a system of doubt. And the Bible says in James that no man should ever think he can get a thing from God if there is doubt in his heart. Say with me, I will be grateful. It takes a renewed mind to be thankful. And that's why before Apostle Paul started talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he talked about thanksgiving. He said, blessed be God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now that talks about the credibility of the divine provision tied to his character. Everything you need to finish this program you are on, God has made provision for them. So whenever it is time to get it, rather than complain, give thanks. Say with me, I will no longer complain. Say, I will give thanks. You must understand that these three directions must be reoccurring in the life of a New Testament believer. Number one, give thanks to God for his character. Tell him his love. You know, sometimes when you start praying, let me tell you this. If you are a very, very wise believer that have knowledge, before you begin to thank God for the things he did for you, thank him for who he is. It shows you are not selfish. Glory to God. It's called worship. Father, thank you because you are love. Thank you because your compassion don't fail. Thank you because you are sovereign. Thank you because you are kind. Lord, I give you thanks because you are unfailing. These are the kind of words God wants to hear from your mouth when you are giving him thanks. Are we together? I know there is a place where you say, okay, Father, thank you for giving me bread to eat. Thank you for giving me bread to breathe, for giving me bread to eat. Thank you because my leg is not hung like those in the hospital. There is a place you can do that one. But before you do that, thank him for his character. Tell him how great he is. Tell him how great he is. Tell him how great he is. Oh Lord my God, when I'm in awesome wonders. No, see, the moment you peep into the character of God, worship will rise from you. Consider all thy works, thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. You see, when you look from beyond your current situation and gaze into the gloriousness of God, your condition becomes very tiny for him to handle. If you look around you, to be sincere, you may not see reason to give thanks to God. I mean, you know, I was telling my wife and one of the guys that used the car, I said, between Thursday and this morning, I've spent over 15,000 on fuel. I don't even know where the fuel is. So there's no need to, if you want to check, there's no reason. I mean, 15K. That would have filled the tank and we use for like 3-4 weeks. 3 days is gone. Because we must move around, amen? But I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunders. You see, when we think about the things he has done, it will not be difficult for us to believe that he will do this one. The universe display. Oh Lord my God, when I'm in awesome wonders, consider thou. See, God can never leave you. Thy hands, thy hands has made us see. And I hear the rolling thunders, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sing my soul. Soul, my Savior God, to thee. It is your soul that tells him how great he is. How great thou art. Do you believe he's great? How great thou art. Bible says in Romans 8 verse 28, all things work together for God. How do you give thanks when it looks like things are spoiling? Everybody say, God is a great God. He can bring out rejoicing from a tearful situation. See how he turned the mourning of Mary and Martha into dancing. 2 minutes ago, their brother was 4 days gone. 2 minutes after, their brother was well and alive. You can't be thankful and be laid to the ground. Thanksgiving has a resurrection effect. Give thanks to God for what dies, it comes to life. Give thanks to God for what is few, it becomes multiplied. Give thanks to God for what is impossible, and then the power from on high comes and overshadows you. And here you are singing, come and join me, sing hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh has done me well. It is a thankful heart that produces a well done job. Give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. When you have this understanding, you can speak like the Apostle John. 1 John 5, 17. He said this, 14, sorry, 1 John 5, 14. He said, for this is the confidence we have, not in ourselves. This month, I will show you how as a student, you give thanks to God, and then all through your days on campus, your barrel of oil never goes down. Sometimes the reason we come into lack is because we stopped becoming grateful. You don't need God to do it for you first before you give him thanks. Give him thanks because he's capable of doing it, and you become qualified for the divine performance. This is the confidence that what? That if we ask anything. So that's why we start our prayers with what? With thanksgiving. You know, some of you pray and said, Father, all this prayer I prayed, if there is any sin that will not allow you to answer it, please forgive me. Listen, God does not answer your prayer because you are sinless. God answers your prayer because he is faithful. Change your thinking. Can I say that again? God does not answer your prayer because you are sinless. But God answers your prayer because he's what? Say, because he's faithful. Say, because he's faithful. Say, because he's faithful. According to your knowledge and your will for me, I just need to align you. Because you are not a man that changes your mind. Those that know you will trust in you. Lord, in all seasons, chariot
by the arms of flesh, no man can prevail. No man.
See where our confidence is.
My confidence is you. What is that for you? It can never exist.
You do not lie. You do not fail. What is that for you to do?
It doesn't exist.
It can never
exist.
You do not lie. You do not fail.
What is that for you to do?
It doesn't exist.
It can never exist.
Those that know you will trust. See, it takes knowledge of God to be thankful.
By the hands of flesh, no man can prevail.
No man.
My confidence
is you.
What is that?
What is that for you? It can never exist.
Can we sing it together?
What is that for you to do?
It doesn't exist.
It can never exist.
You do not lie.
You do not fail. What is that for you to do? It doesn't exist. It can never exist.
Are not thankful minded, you would always be complaining. Complaining and thankfulness can't reside in the same container. Philip said, how do we feed them? Jesus said, make them sit down. How do you thrive in a challenging situation? Be thankful. Father, thank you because I know I am blessed. I told you, number one, you thank him for his character. Number two, you thank him for his doings. And then now, number three, you thank him for his doings in your life. Thanking him for his character and doings qualify you to experience those things in your life. And that's why when someone comes and shares testimony and said, the doctor said I couldn't give birth, but look at me today with my child. If I were you, I will rejoice. And like Isaiah, I will scream. He is the God that gives the barren children. So next time the enemy comes and says, Trey, doctor, you are barren. Do you know what will come out from your heart? Father, thank you. Because the last time I checked, you are the God that gives children to the barren. So thank you because you are able. That's how to live as a believer. Let the price of fuel go up. Let's give thanks. He will bless your business. Stop thinking you will become poor. You will not beg for bread. It was the psalmist that said, he said, since I was young, he said, but now I am old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Who is the righteous? The ones that come before God lifting their hands all the time saying, Father, thank you. Because the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So who are the righteous? The righteous are those who comes in with thanksgiving. Every time you are thankful, you qualify for God's pleasures. He said, in my presence are pleasures forevermore. The pleasures in God's presence are the pleasures that comes from the thankful ones. I'm among them. They are the ones that give thanks to God even when it's not looking like it. You're looking at your life and say, oh, I should be married by now. Give thanks to him. Say, Father, thank you for the gift of singleness. Singleness is a gift. Enjoy it. Give him thanks. Turn that condition that people are mocking you about.
turn it
to thanksgiving. Because the Bible says, yet it will turn and overturn until whose turn it is. Your turn will surely come. But before it shows up, give him thanks. Can we lift up our hands as a church and say, Father, thank you for your doings. Stand up on your feet. Father, we thank you. We are grateful. So one more time, I want you to lift your hands and give him thanks. Just give him thanks.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.